Welcome to Cupcakes and Protein Shakes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories and insight from the world of competitive fitness. I'm your host, Savannah Sharp, previous NPC, bikini national level competitor, WBFF pro fitness model, and posing coach. On this podcast, I share my own journey to the stage and interview other female competitors from all divisions and industries, including NPC, IFBB, and WBFF. Each week, we bring you new episodes full of motivational stories, helpful tips, and real-life experiences from competitors of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, our goal is to provide you the knowledge and inspiration you need to succeed in your own fitness journey. So if you're looking for a podcast that's both informative and entertaining, look no further than Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. Don't miss a single episode. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss out on the latest insights and inspiration from the world of competitive fitness. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in and join the conversation. Hi guys, welcome back to Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. I'm your host, Savannah. We're getting ready to do an episode where we have a fellow competitor on the show. She's going to share her journey. She's going to give you all the tips and tricks and everything that you need for your fitness journey. So welcome to the show. Introduce yourself and tell me, where are you at right now?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Maddie Michelson. I am an IFBB pro. I'm so used to saying for my channel, I'm an NPC bikini competitor. I'm an IFBB pro. I am the CEO of Team Empowered Fitness, and I am coming here from sunny Orlando, Florida.
Oh man, I am jealous. My window's back here. You can't see it, but it is literally snowing. Yesterday was snowing. And it is like 32 degrees.
I have never seen snow in my life. I have no desire to.
Yeah, but it is not special. It is cold. It is wet. It is not exciting. So I'd much rather be in the sunshine.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So now tell me where you are now. Are you off season? Are you prep? What are you doing?
Yeah. So I don't want to get on like too long of a tangent. I'm sure there's going to be other questions that are going to tie into this, but I competed, I was in prep for over 300 days in 2023, from 2022 to 2023, took about a three month off season and went back into prep. It was a 7 week prep for nationals in Irving, Texas this past December. So competed there and got my pro card. I actually won the overall in Irving, which took me by complete surprise, but we didn't really get feedback. So I had every inclination and plan to go into an off season, but now no, we are essentially 12 or 13 weeks out from my pro debut. So oh, wow. We're going to be, yeah, competing. We've got three shows on our radar. But yeah, we're just going to take it show by show and see what the feedback is.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What a freaking whirlwind. I love that you said you're not used to calling yourself, like introducing yourself as an IFBB pro yet, because it like hasn't sunk in.
Yeah.
I know.
Not at all. I actually posted a YouTube video last week, and I had comments from a lot of my followers, and they were like, Maddie, like, own that you're an IFBB pro. I'm like, I'm trying to own it, but I'm not used to saying that. I'm so used to my normal intro.
I know. I used to say the same thing for my YouTube channel, like future IFBB pro or NPC competitor or whatever it is. And it just feels like weird out of your mouth because, like, you know, going pro was your goal for, I don't know how long, we'll get into it in just a second, but like, if that's all you can focus on, the fact that it's here, it kind of like slaps you in the face. You're like, now what? What? Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine this time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it happened in December. We're still, I mean, at this point, it's like exactly 4 weeks from my show, and it still has not fully like internalized. I just got my trophy and like set it up. I don't even have it screwed in. Yeah. But it's all set up here. I'll show you in my my little office over here. So she's sitting there nice and pretty, but I still walk in the room and I'm like, oh, fancy meeting you here.
I know. Well, this all has to start somewhere. So yeah. Tell me, before everything started, before you prepped, like, what was your life like? Were you an athlete growing up? Were you into sports? What was your life like?
Sure. So I grew up here in Orlando, and I was a ballet dancer, like a hardcore ballet dancer for 12 plus years. In seventh and eighth grade, I actually would go to school, like a normal school, for two periods in the morning. It would rotate, like English, math, English, science. And then I would spend the other 8 to 10 hours in the day training at Orlando Ballet. So I actually became, at like the age of 14, I was their youngest professional dancer that was paid for shows and things like that. And then as I was sort of transitioning into high school, I was standing in the line to get my IDs and books at a brand new school. And I was supposed to go to auditions to move up a level. And I looked over at my mom and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And she was like, funny. And I was like, no, really, I'm done. And it was just like that. I had made the decision and c'est la vie, ballet. So as you can imagine, I wasn't a conventional athlete. I wasn't a cheerleader. I wasn't a lacrosse player. So I had to sort of grapple with who is Maddie now without this huge part of my identity. And it really started to transform and take shape. I took up wakeboarding, but about 3 years into that, I was getting ready to get some big sponsorships. And I had a pretty significant head injury where I got a concussion. I fractured my skull and I kind of realized maybe this isn't the route for me. And then this is now my senior year of high school. I got into weight training, had no idea what I was doing. And that bled into college. So now I was a University of Florida, Florida Gator. And I was going to school and I, bless his heart, had a boyfriend for about 3 or 4 years who was actually my orientation leader. And it all ties in. We got into the gym together where I took up running. So I was running, I mean, eating whatever I wanted, but running 5 to 7 miles, 5 days a week. I was a cardio bunny.
Yeah.
And about 3 years into our relationship, he graduated. I was still in school. I decided to end things with him. And I had never realized how much control I had in our relationship as one of the partners. And when I no longer had that control over a person, I manifested that control through diet and exercise. I had started at a healthy, maybe like 135, 140 pounds. And I'm 5'5". That quickly spiraled. So I started restricting food. It initially was just me being mindful. I was like, yeah, I'm going to actually measure out my portion of peanut butter instead of literally eating probably 5 tablespoons of it with an apple just as my lunch. Yeah. And then that became, I bought a food scale. And initially my friends, my family, they're like, Maddie, you're looking really good. And I did. I lost about 5-10 healthy-ish pounds. But then from there, like I said, it became very, very restrictive. And within 2 years' time that I went through this, the running increased. So I was now running 7-8 miles a day, plus doing Beachbody P90X workouts. And at my lowest calories, I was at 900. At this point, I was tracking meticulously. And I was 90 pounds. I lost my cycle. It was completely disappeared for about 2 years. My thick hair was falling out in clumps all over the floor. Friends and family, I mean, my family thought that I was crazy. My immediate family obviously was concerned. I lost a tremendous amount of friends just because, you know, they're thinking, oh my gosh, you were once so beautiful. Why would you do this to yourself? But it's a disorder. It's a sickness. And you can't even see in the mirror just how small you are. So at that point, I had seen psychiatrists, psychologists, you name it, and nobody could diagnose me. The reason being is it never began from me looking in the mirror and seeing myself as big or small. So my mom was actually way before bikini was a thing. She was engaged to a bodybuilder and they were in the gym and she was training to be a bodybuilder because there wasn't any other divisions. And I proposed to her like, hey mom, what do you think about me getting a coach? And I had been watching some coaches on YouTube. My former coach is actually who took me on. And I reached out to him and we got on a phone call. And he was like, listen, I just want to help you get healthy. He actually coached me for free. And we, I mean, in 2 years' time, the first thing he did was get me up on stage. I actually competed a week later.
Wow.
And reason for that show was because he knew that I had such a history of being on stage as a dancer. And just like with ballet, I respected my elders or my superiors, my teachers and coaches. So he knew that once I got feedback from a head judge that was like, listen, you're far too skinny. You got to do something about this, that I would take that and run with it. That's exactly what happened. I actually placed at my first show. It's hard to believe. I have videos of me eating sugar cookies into that show because we just wanted to fill out whatever was there. And we took 2 years off and I, dated a guy. The guy was bulking. I wound up getting back up to 145 pounds. I completely healed my relationship with food. I actually left the coach. I was like, you know, I think, you know, he's bulking. I guess I'm bulking. I was literally eating what he ate. It was awful. I was the biggest I'd ever been at that point, but I was happy with it. And then I started a self-directed cut. Lost about 5 pounds. Thought I looked great. And reached back out to the coach and was like, hey, what do you think about doing a prep? So that is when all of this season began. And competing for me, my why very quickly became, even though I had healed myself from the eating disorder, I wanted that pro card to me signified that I had finally overcame the eating disorder. So that was my motive the entire time. It was, I mean, I was laser focused on that is why I need that pro card. And I will not stop until I've proven to myself I am through the end of this eating disorder. So that's my long-winded story of how I got there. But
Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy to everyone's journey to the stage is different. It's just, I mean, yours is very unique because it's being very, very lean to having to build yourself back and then get there. Man, okay. So I'm trying to think of where I want to take this because you've had so many different like identities, I guess. I feel like a lot of athletes probably struggle more so in the process of identity, but it's almost like you had this like identity switch from like past self to this new self when that was for ballet. And that was that kind of thing of like, who am I going to be now? Or like, who is that going to be? And attaching to bodybuilding was a way for you to kind of get out. And it is interesting, like that you're like eating disorder or whatever happened, but you sound so positive the way that you speak about yourself now. Like it doesn't seem like it was in form of a self-hate or anything. It just was going to the extremes. Like, and you're an athlete and it just seemed like you're a high performer at a young age. So it just made sense. You would just take whatever you're doing to the extreme level. And that was it. It's like, I do more. Like I always have learned to do more. I at a young age, I excelled and I just went above and above and above. And so more is better. So if I'm cutting, I'm going to cut the most extreme because more is better. I don't know anything different. But bodybuilding really teaches you that there's a balance with the physique and with the diet, and there has to be a give and take. So during this journey, like, okay, so this all was 2023 season when you came back.
When I came back. Yep. So I did literally one show in 2019. And then 2020, I believe it was, I did a few shows in 2022 at the latter half, I mean, way end of the year in 2022. And that was when we were like kind of first prepping me. I wasn't lean enough. And then, you know, the journey really began in January.
Yeah. And I like that you got on stage and your coach knew it didn't really matter how this happened. It doesn't matter what she does. It doesn't matter how you place. It was get the feedback from someone other than yourself that is objectively looking at you next to right and left competitors. And that was finally what you needed of like, now I have a goal. Now I have an understanding. And I feel like a lot of athletes don't want to do a show before they're ready because they're scared. But the best thing you can do for yourself is to get on stage when you're underprepared to get that feedback if you want to pursue this sport. And that way you can really drive into an off season having shaken off, you know, the first time, and then come back strategically and know what to expect and like really give it like your like really all for that like second time that you step on stage. So during those.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that it's no different than a warm-up show, right? When I get on a call with an athlete who wants to do a show, a lot of times athletes will already have a show in mind when they come to me. Sometimes they won't, but I'll always say, okay, so let's backtrack from here. So this is the show you want to do. We're going to do this one as a warm-up. And the, you know, especially as a novice competitor, the question is always like, well, why do I need a warm-up? And I'm like, it will speak for itself. You know, there's a lot of jitters. Nuanced things, booking your tan, getting your hotel, getting your meals there, right? Like we just want to work out those kinks. And as you said, you know, the feedback is absolutely invaluable. I will say, like personally, and this is kind of a tangent or like a side note, I never actually loved being up on stage. Literally the show day was, I abhorred it up until nationals. And a lot changed for me in between Universe, which was my third national show with my previous coach, and Nationals, which was my first show with my new coach. But yeah, I mean, I think that you touched on so many good things there. One of those being, you know, how my identity has changed and in that, how I regard myself. And I appreciate you noticing that and that I regard myself hopefully highly. I think it's important that we love ourselves, but I really, really focus on looking back at my past experiences, especially the bad ones. And I mean this with everything in me and finding some sort of meaning in it. I mean, I have a team right now with 60 plus athletes, and I would never ever have anticipated that this would be, I mean, I have a background in nursing, you know, that this would be my career path and trajectory, but it also just feels so right. And I wouldn't have found this had I not gone through what I went through. Yeah. You know, I work with athletes specifically, on a lot of functional issues, on gut issues, on thyroid issues, on regaining their cycles, on their relationship with food. And I'm like, you know, I would never wish what I had happened to me on anybody, but it's a part of who I am. And I wear that proudly because of where it's landed me today.
Yeah, I like it. So I feel like the more mistakes you're openly like owning as an athlete or just as a person, it makes you a really great coach and athlete of just, hey, I made this mistake, but you didn't let it break you. And that's the key to longevity. It's like everyone is going to go through some type of hardships, but just keep improving and just knowing like it can always get better. It's, you know, you can always improve. You can always push yourself. Like you had to go through a dark time to heal your relationship with food. And by doing that now, like it makes it easier to prep even when it does get hard. So you don't go down that path again, and that you can be an advocate for your athletes, like practice what you preach. And sure, it's, you have to be in that like position to like, when I tell my athletes, you got to stay on your nutrition, you got to stay on your diet. I always think about that. I'm like, well, I have to do it for myself now. I got to show up for them. I got to show up for my clients. I got to show up for myself. And this year, okay, how many shows or national shows did it take to obtain pro card? So I know you
that
had
was my fourth.
Okay. Was that all this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So ironically, if you want me to touch on all that. Yeah. So in May, I did junior USAs. It was basically like I got done with prejudging. I had no idea what happened. And my coach at the time was like, oh, you got this in the bag. You got your pro card today. Congrats. And so we went into finals and they switched us. My feedback for that specific show was that my posing in the back was just a little bit off. And I remember going into that show and being so hard on myself and really going into that with the same mentality that I've had my entire life, which is in order to be successful at anything, not just bodybuilding, it needs to be hard. You need to, it needs to hurt you. And I really manifested that in my prep as I got ready for my first national show. And as the season went on into nationals or junior nats in Chattanooga, and then into Universe, I got my worst placing at Universe. Like I just kept going down. Granted, I was still getting first callouts. I was just getting leaner and leaner and leaner. And let me tell you, I started, you know, my awareness at this point because of my journey is so heightened. And I started thinking about just like, I got COVID in between junior nats and Universe. And I lost like 5 pounds there. And at this point, I mean, I started prep at probably 130 and I was 109 pounds going into Universe.
Whoa, that's lean.
Yeah. And your brain at that point isn't even functioning right. I don't know how I maintained my business like I did. A lot of that was probably just drive and adrenaline, but I started to almost develop like PTSD because I started to have this mentality of this has been so hard. I had been so, and it was a choice, but I had been so isolated. I refused to go out with friends. I wouldn't have friends over because I was so regimented. I had to be in bed by 8. I had to be up by 4:30. I had to do this, do that. This had to be in this order. I had to eat alone. I had to eat slowly. I had to eat. And it was, I started to realize, wow, the very thing that got me out of my eating disorder, I'm outgrowing that. And I started to have this yet again, identity crisis. Maybe I want to start eating intuitively, but I still want that pro card. That pro card to me still signifies that I've overcame this eating disorder. But then again, I've already overcame the eating disorder. My realization that this is furthering the disordered eating is proof that I've overcame it. So do I even need the pro card? So at this point, and I'm not going to badmouth my previous coach, there were mistakes that were made. And I realized that I needed a different set of eyes. I needed a different approach. If I was going to go for this, I was looking at just a ton of life change in 2024. And I knew that at the end of 2023, like I at least wanted to go into an off season with just different people and give it one more go. My initial plan was to compete at junior USAs again this May. So I reached out to my current coaches and they took me on. And like I said, we went into an off season and I had a touch of a cycle for the first time, void of birth control in 5+ years. We got my calorie intake, which never exceeded like 1900 calories, got my calories up to 2900. I was training really, really hard, but that's has nothing to do with it. What they provided for me is what transformed my coaching business and is what made the difference. And that is I learned how to believe in myself. I remember when I got my first check-in from them and I was like, are you kidding me? I am now paying for my coach. Mind you, I'm paying a third of my rent and I just hired Buddha and Oprah Winfrey. And I literally was like, what mistake did I make? Little did I know that they were going to teach me more about myself and truly embracing the process, inviting friends and community into my life and understanding that this entire journey is not going to work. It's not going to be nearly as glorious or gratifying unless you learn to love your body through it. And so that's exactly what I did. I started getting massages. I started taking active recovery days. I literally woke up and like looked in the mirror and was like, God, you are beautiful. Not in an egotistical way, but just in like a humility, gratitude, you know, aspect of just being gracious for this body that's worked so hard for me and hasn't failed me yet. And they called me up and I was like, hey guys, I think I'm going to leave you. I want to go work with the functional nutritionist. I've got some GI stuff going on. I healed my gut, you know, with my knowledge. But long story short, they were like, actually Nationals is in 7 weeks and we think you can do it. And you hear that. And once again, your dopamine's like, you know, you're like, let's do it. Well, 3 to 4 days later, I mean, I went through probably a 3 to 4 week period of like highs and lows. I mean, to the point where it just got more frequent. It was like one 30 minute block, I was excited. The next 30 minutes, I was sobbing my eyes out, wanting to throw in the towel, wanted to turn away from this sport and never wanted to do it again. And one of the best pieces of advice that I was ever given, and this is evident in all of the work that I do, it's that when you're unsure of something, don't move. Don't make a decision if you're unsure. And so my choice was, I was so uncertain that for literally 4 weeks, we had me up to 70 minutes of cardio. We had me down to 1300 calories. For 4 weeks straight, my weight stayed the same that it was at 2800 calories and 20 minutes of cardio twice a week. I was 128 for 4 weeks going through this emotional turmoil. And then finally something clicked. And I remember being on the Stairmaster and I no longer hated it. I no longer hated the cardio, but I was neutral. And I remember being so grateful for just that feeling of neutrality. Little did I know that the internal work that I was doing on reframing my mindset was going to transform from neutrality to literal excitement, something I had never felt for a show before. I felt prepared. I felt supported. I felt excited. I felt like nothing was holding me back. Like I truly wasn't even nervous. And damn, if that's not when I lost 10 pounds in a week, I went from, yeah. So wow. Then obviously I went to the show. I got the pro card and the overall. And it's so funny because I knew this was going to happen. I mean, even going into the show, I'm like, I'm going to get this pro card and it's not going to be a big deal anymore. And it was still a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But for the first time, I was like, oh my God, my body and my mind became one. And I think I love this sport. And even now, like I'm 12, 13, I know I'm distant from my pro debut, but like, I don't even feel like I'm in prep.
Yeah.
It's so different.
It is different when the mind and body can connect, and it takes time because I've had a very similar experience of you put so much pressure on yourself and you put so much like self-worth into that card and the obtaining of it that it almost put, like that stress isn't normal and your body really can't handle it. It's like thinking like it is life or death. If we don't get this card, she really needs it. We have to get this. And to the point where like, you can't enjoy the process. You can't enjoy the cardio and the food and the drain. You can't enjoy what's going on. And when you decide prep isn't hard, suddenly your body's going to respond. I used to focus so hard at the early stages of prep where it was like, you're isolated. Like I can only go to bed at 9 p.m. If something or someone at 9:01 p.m., I'm so mad. I didn't get up at 5. If I couldn't work out in the morning, it was a shitty workout. If I had to do it in the afternoon, like it wasn't like there was one point in my journey that I had to really make the realization of what's the point of getting a pro card if there's nobody to like celebrate it with you at the end? If it's just you, like, is it really worth, like, what do you want that to look like? What would it look like if, you know, you were able to bring everyone up with you and still be yourself, can you still have fun in prep? What would that look like? What would that look like if you were excited to train and excited to do your cardio and it made it something hard fun? What? Mm-hmm. It's allowed and it's okay. And I've done preps where I've made it mentally hard. And when you think you're hungry or you tell yourself, oh my God, this Stairmaster is going to suck. This, I'm going to be so sore. I'm going to be so tired. Then you are. But if you think about it in a different way, and it's just, your mind is so powerful, like what you're capable of once you kind of let go. You let go of the timeline, you let go of the outcome, and you just build that confidence of, you know, it may or may not happen, but I know I've done the work, right? There's no point in stressing so hard.
I mean, I kept getting on the phone with my coaches and asking them, like, God, I just wish you guys could give me a guarantee. Like, do you really think I will? Do you really think I will? Do you think I'll turn pro? And finally, I mean, the literal thing that my mind did was I said, you know what? Let's just do a little visual forecasting. Okay. Option A is I don't do this show. I pull out, I do an off season and I come back in May. How am I going to feel? And I pictured that girl. I pictured that girl pulling out. I pictured that girl going out with friends. And then I also pictured option B, which was doing the show. And I'm a big visualization girly. And for the first time ever, I didn't really have to force envisioning myself getting the pro card or not. I just saw it. Like it was just obvious. And I didn't really share that with anybody because I didn't want anybody thinking that I went in expecting to get it. Because honestly, I remember even between prejudging and finals, my coaches were like, you got it. And I was like, no, I didn't. Because of my experience back in May, I was like, no, I didn't. And they didn't really like confirm or deny, but you know, prejudging a lot of times you kind of know where you're stacked up. Now, something that I will say alongside just your kind of, you alluded to having a growth mindset. And something that I think is important to also mention is like, there was a time in this prep when no matter how much you told me, like, you need to reframe your thinking, like you need to think about this differently, there was no cultivating a growth mindset. And something that I try to be as, you know, straightforward and transparent, the audience that I like to be as transparent with is my following, is my clients. And there are going to be those days where like, you literally just need to, my mom's term is buck up. And I did that for 30 days straight. And when you're in prep, 30 days of bucking up without the scale going down and your protocols only getting harder, it does not feel good. But the one thing that kept me rooted and grounded was knowing, number one, this is not permanent. I won't feel this way forever. At some point, the answer, whether I prep and do this show or whether I pull out, will become clear. Number two, like I knew that I had done that visualization exercise. I knew that I was uncertain. And so I had no choice but to keep going. I had to stay in that gray space. And in the past, I think I've always tried to jump the gun. I remember planning for junior USAs. And I remember telling everybody, yeah, I'm going to do junior USAs. And if I don't turn pro there, I'm going to do junior Nats. And then if I don't turn pro there, I'm going to do Universe. And I already like created it for myself. Like I had already told people my plans. And it was like, well, what if you get it at the first show? You know? And so that's the approach that I started. I started to take all these little nuggets that I gained from my previous prep. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this show. No plans for after. No, like continual. Cause I think that in a lot of ways that burned me out really quick was thinking about, okay, this is the first national show after doing four regional shows. Okay. We're just going to keep going. I'm going to get through May and then I'm going to go to June and then July. And then it almost made the journey seem longer. And for the first time, I was like, this is 7 weeks. If this is hell for 7 weeks straight, I don't know what happens after December 7th and 8th. I just know I got to get to there. And so I think for a lot of like new athletes, it's helpful to do that. Like, don't think about the rest of the shows for the rest of the season. Get yourself to that show.
Yeah. Literally, you need to take it one at a time, because you can't guarantee the outcome. As much as you want to visualize the outcome of, okay, I'm going to get first place at my regional show, and then I'm going to go to nationals, then I'm going to get my pro card, then I'm going to make my pro debut, then I'm going to go to the Olympia stage, then I'm going to win the Olympia, and then I'm blah, blah. Like, it does not work like that for some people. Sure, of course. Most people aren't like that. So if you just take it and like putting your all into one show and just see what happens, not even just that prep, but like, let's just give her all for this workout right now. Like, yeah, be present. And I used to have to tell myself, like, in prep, be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. Because I remember submitting a check-in and I was 3-4 weeks out and I'm like, okay, so what is my reverse diet gonna be? La da 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 da, and all this stuff. And my coach literally was like, send it back. I don't care about that. You don't need to care about that. Keep your focus. This is your protocol. We'll worry about that when we get there. And it was kind of like a, oh, I guess you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you just spend all of that brain power thinking about the future, it really, like, you only have a certain amount of brain power to put towards everything that you need to think about. Because if your brain is in the future, you can't really commit to the present. And if you keep thinking, okay, I'm going to be here, and like, you were already planning really not to win by telling everyone, oh, I'm going to do this show, and then I'm going to do this show, so I don't get it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it should have been, hey, I'm going to start my season here.
Yep.
Then point A to point B. And then from point B, we'll see what happens then. And then I make my next move. And you're playing chess, right? Like, competitors and just people in general, we like to want that security and safety. I want to know, I want to have a plan B, and I want to have a plan B because it's scary to put ourselves out there and say, hey, this is something that's important to me. Hey, I really love to turn pro. I'm going to try my best and I'm going to try my hardest. So we say stuff like, oh, you know, I'll just, like, there's another show, da, 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 da. It's like, no, just stop. If you're prepping, regardless of the level of it, take it one at a time. Don't plan your whole season. You can have a rough idea. Yes, it's important just so you can have a light idea, but don't stress yourself out to the point where it's unenjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, something that a phrase that's very much celebrated and used on our team is win the day, whether you're a lifestyle athlete or a competitor. And that was really my mantra. It was something that I heard from Jen Dory. And we had a very special moment backstage. I actually, before the overall, was talking to her, and I was late, about 30 seconds late, getting up on stage for the overall, because we were having this like sob, we were crying like moment with one another. And, I was just thanking her for that, because gosh, it's so important, whether you're a competitor or you're a lifestyle athlete, to truly see each day as an opportunity to get better. When you talked about your check-in with your coach, it made me think about my Friday workouts. And I remember waking up on literally Sunday, the start of the week, and I was like, oh crap, I've got that Friday workout, man. I don't want it to be Friday. And it's like, but you've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Be here now, Maddie. And I think there was a lesson to be learned in that. You know, like I said, I, for the first time ever, I was working with coaches who, they took the time, and I do this with my athletes, because I'll ask them questions where I'm sure they're checking in with me and they're like, did you just ask that? You're my coach. Like, I want macros and cardio and workouts. And these are questions that are pointed to get to understand how the athlete's brain works, because none of the protocols are going to jive, work, sync, unless you understand what makes your athlete tick. And these coaches that worked with me took the time to understand, wow, Maddie's got a lot of strengths. One of her strengths is scheduling and organizing and monotony and predictability and forecasting for the future, gosh, that makes me tick. And they knew that. And so they really hyper fixated on, in my check-ins, the words of affirmation and the continual, you know, repetitive commentary on, yep, you are, you know, 7 days out and you are exactly where we want you to look, or where you're exactly how we want you to look and where we want you to be 7 days out. Today is not show day. And the amount of times they had to say that to me, because that's not how I'm wired. Today is show day. I want to look like show day today. And I mean, they said that all the way up to the show. I remember two nights before the show, they pushed like an extra 100 grams of carbs at nighttime. Like I was about to put my head on the pillow and go to bed. They said, get up and eat. And I was like, guys, I'm going to be bloated in the morning. And they texted me back, today is not show day. Okay. And I think that that's, you know, so important, especially as a new competitor. We're so quick just to jump on like the coach that has the most athletes or has the most pro cards or seems like all their athletes look like soldiers. Like they all look the same. They all look incredible. And we forget the importance. I even did. I did it for 6 years of being with a coach that is in it for you, that is learning how you tick and is getting in your, that brain of ours that is all very similar. We're all very driven. We're all kind of sick and twisted and is learning how to coach you.
Yes. Yes. Every coach. Yeah. So much. I need to stamp that. And it's the top, there's top coaches for a reason, but it shouldn't be, I just want to look like the top athletes. And so I'm going to go with that coach. You need to have the right coach that can help you get to your goals. There's so many girls out there with such high potential that quit before their peaks because they're following programs that don't work for them. And there is 1,000 ways to get to the stage. There is not a one size fits all. So if there is a plan that is not working for you, sometimes it's the plan, but it might be the person writing the plan because they don't understand, or you guys haven't had that communication of, I need X, I like this. Like you have to have those conversations. And if your coach doesn't know, or you're not being truthful, or you're lying to yourself or your coach or anything, they can't help you. So it really does start like maximizing what you're paying for. If you are paying for a coaching service and you're not getting what you need, you got to be able to communicate that. And you have to have someone that you do trust that is going to have your best interest. And I've always said this too, and I knew this for a long time, but I never worry about being too thick or in the off season or whatever. Like I don't care about that as much now because I've learned from doing so many shows. If show day is not tomorrow, I don't need to be stage lean today. If I'm not even in a prep, I don't need to worry about I'm X amount of pounds. Like it doesn't matter. And I think a lot of girls too, they just focus on the wrong things. And especially when you are, you're prepping, I'm not lean enough. I'm not lean enough. I'm not lean enough. I'm not lean. Well, no shit. You're 16 weeks out. I would hope that you're not prepping right now. Does it make sense? Does it make sense for you to be 16 weeks out to be ready to step on a stage? No, it's going to take some time. It takes a few times to understand that. And it is like, you have to slowly get lean. You can try to maintain your best, but to get truly stage lean competitively, it is going to take that full 12 to 16 weeks of chipping away a little bit more, a little leaner, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until you peak that perfect package that you can really only maintain for a couple hours.
Yeah. I mean, and I think too, there's so much to be said in the way that you respond to those comments as a coach, because I've worked with both, and I've worked with a coach who would send a 30-second response and say, you know, to a comment like that, I don't feel ready. I don't feel like I look good enough. No, you look fine. You're doing great. Keep it up. Bye. And then the other coach who was like, let's talk about why you might not feel this way. So we are 16 weeks out. And right now we're probably about 500 calories higher than what we're going to be eating going into the show. Right now, our cardio is moderate. We're doing 20 minutes every single day. And we're probably going to ramp that up to about 60 or 70 as things get going. You know, at the end of the day, the only reason why we ask those silly questions is because we don't know. We're misinformed, right? All that we're going off of is Instagram, which we know is a highlight reel, and things that we've seen on TV or at other shows. And so our frame of reference, I mean, especially if it's other competitors, it's just so skewed.
It is.
And to have a coach that never makes a question feel like a burden is invaluable.
Yes. Yeah, because I don't ask a lot of questions to my coach, but if I do, it's because I don't know the education piece around there. If there's anything that I'm like, I don't know about that or something like that, I will ask to understand. And throughout the journey, like the more that I trust my coach, now I don't question anything. But it took a little bit of time. It took a little bit of questioning because I wasn't quite sure if I could trust them.
Sure.
And then when you get the feedback, oh my gosh, what they were saying is the exact same thing that the judges told me. Got it. So when you were telling me 4 weeks out that I needed to suck it up, push a little bit harder to get a little bit leaner, you are being truthful. Or you need some more glutes. It wasn't being unkind. It was just obviously like that is what we needed to work on. And it just takes a little time to build that trust. And so now I'm at the point where it's like, I am a prep soldier because they took time when I had those questions, not to make you feel bad, but to educate of here is why this is on your plan. Here, this is why we're doing this. This is how I'm expecting you to respond. You're about this week's out. So to like doing calculations with math of I need to know the math and I need to know the data. Like that's my thing. That's personally, I need to know, am I on track? Where is my goal, right? Where do you want me to be? How many pounds do I need to drop this week? What is the goal? What does my waist need to be? Whatever it is. So if I don't know that, or I feel uncertain, that's where I'm like questioning. So if you're listening to this and you are unsure, that's okay. But your coach is there to ask, and they are not going to just tell you this information until you do ask.
I think that's a great point. I also want to touch on the importance of collaboration, and I can use a really recent experience of mine because gosh, I know that even after being a coach now for 7 years and working with two of the top coaches, I believe in the world, I obviously look up to them immensely, immensely. They're just a reservoir of knowledge. And I know that especially as a new competitor, if you were working with somebody like them or any other coach, sometimes it feels like you can't interject. But this sport as a whole is in many ways, if you want it to be, can really deprive you of your autonomy. And what I mean by that is like something simple. Your autonomy in the gym, right? A lot of us start out as gym girlies. We love to go in and do the latest TikTok workout. Now you're following a program for 12 to 16 weeks. How does that feel? You have to do these exercises. You have to do these reps. You have to take a rest day on Wednesday. What about meals? You know, you have to hit these macros. You know, you're holding water when you consume dairy. So no more protein powder. You know, it's like it can really deprive you if you see it that way, as opposed to seeing it as a fun challenge and trying something different. If you see it that way, it really can. And so in an effort to not feel like this, you know, controlled little soldier by your coaches, you have to speak up for yourself. And a great example of, you know, when I did that was just Christmas and New Year's. I reached out to my coaches. I knew that we had these shows on our radar. And I knew that they were prepared to give me what they call flex calories, which essentially are like, oh, I'm going to give you 800 calories extra for the week. Use them however you like, protein, fats, carbs, et cetera. And I was like, listen, I just spent all of 2023 articulating that if I'm going to continue in this sport, I have got to get a grip on how to be a bikini athlete as one identity. Because I was so sick of being NPC IFBB Maddie and then being off-season Maddie. And a lot of that had to do with the relationships that I was or wasn't having in my life. A lot of that had to do with the flexibility that I had with my schedule and my routine and kind of pushing my limits and growing in that area. But part of that also had to do with when I was with family, working on being really present. And the holidays were a great opportunity for that. And so I literally requested, I said, I don't want flex calories for the week. From Sunday to Saturday, I'm going to be A money right on the target. Don't you worry. But on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve, I want to go completely untracked. And that was the scariest thing I had ever asked for, because I am somebody who's tracked macros for 7 years. And so I asked it, and then it was like one of those, it was the same thing as like, do you want to do nationals? And you're like, yeah, you know, and then you come back, you're like, oh shit. And so I didn't track. I actually retroactively tracked because I wanted to test and see like, where were you at really? Hit my macros. I mean, I was off by like, you know, 15 grams here and there, but hit my macros, met my protein intake, got healthy fats in, met my carbs. And I was present. And that was, you know, we talked about, it was more than a pro card. It was learning how to appreciate my body. The second big thing that I'm still working on, but really, really recognized this pro card provided me with, was finally learning how to not have these two identities, how to make the identities marry one another, and really articulating for myself what I needed and being like presence with my family, presence with the people around me in order to achieve that, and communicating that to my coaches. So I know I kind of went on a tangent, but it is not bad to tell your coaches. You don't even have to always explain why. I did explain the why, but they were happy to do that for me. Now, most girls, and in fact, I was one of the girls, many years ago, at last year, in fact, I texted my previous coach and I was like, I need macros for Christmas Eve. Give them to me. It provides me safety. This year, it felt like I was restricting myself. So I changed. And it's okay as you're changing and learning more about yourself to communicate with your coaches what you need.
Yeah. Man, that's very powerful. It's like you change and you are the one that, you know, what had served you in the past no longer served you. And what you needed was different this year and this time compared to where you were before. I like that you are also like recognizing that you're not two people, you're one. And that's a big thing with competitors, especially like amateur competitors, because you see those huge reverses and rebounds into this off-season person. Then you see the prep and they're addicted to prep because they are following protocols and you're keeping promises to yourself. So why is it different in the off-season? And that's one thing that I've really battled of. Why do I have two? Why is prep Savannah this amazing person who is able to stick to the plan and just loves training and blah, blah, blah. And then why is off season so different? It's really not. It's really, it has to be one in order to get where you want to be. Because if you have two sides of the coin, like you can't level up if you're suddenly a different person half of the year compared to when you are in a prep.
Sure. I do tell my athletes that the off season is the prep. All that prep is really shredding down. But I say that not so they're adherent to their macros or so they do their cardio and their steps, but more so to plant the seed around cultivating, okay, how do we marry this identity? Because I recognize from my shortcomings and my mistakes that dichotomy for so long really ate away at me. I was that girl who rebounded and gained 20 pounds. And a lot of it is body fat. It's not muscle. I don't care what your coach is telling you. And I know that I'm 4 weeks post show right now, but the lessons that I have learned, I hope it doesn't take somebody this much effort to learn these lessons, but the lessons that I have learned are throughout the process, you've got to learn how to respect your body, love your body, treat your body right. You've got to have a mutual respect with your coaches. You need to respect them, but they also need to respect you. And you've got to be willing to try new things. You know, if things weren't working for you in the past, what makes you think that doing them again is going to, if your coach didn't get you there, right? And they're not getting you there show after show after show, and you're getting worse. Take note of that. You know, one thing that a change that we made this year was we pulled out all powders, even like vegan 5-ingredient protein powders, all sauces and all spices except herbs and pink salt. Changed my physique drastically. Don't get me wrong. When they told me to do that, I sobbed my eyes out for 30 minutes. I was like, no freaking way. I'm in my off season right now. You won't catch me with a drop of sauce on my food. Why? Because I like it now. But it was my mindset. I was like, you know what? This is something new and I haven't had new. And what if this is the thing that makes the difference? And then the fourth thing is you cannot, just to your very point. I remember when I got my pro card, the last thing that I felt was that I earned it. I truly felt in my heart of hearts that everyone around me earned it, whether it was a smile at the gym, whether it was, yo, Maddie, you're looking ready. When's your show? I took the 5 minutes and I talked with those people and I shared with them what I was going through. I told them about it. I made them a part of that journey. And as a result, when I got that pro card, it was their win too. And I made it known. Like, I reached out to every single person thanking them, not out of obligation, but because that made the difference. Those 5-minute conversations, the 2-hour conversations, the mentorship calls, the massages with my masseuse, it all made the difference. Don't do this alone.
Yeah.
Don't isolate yourself. And as a result, like I said, I am 4 weeks into my off season, but I'm prepping. I don't know what to call it, but like, I'm maintaining stage weight. Like, I had the holidays. I had, you know, my cardio is way down. My food has gone up. And granted, the longer you stay lean, the faster you're, you know, sometimes your metabolism speeds up. There's tons of things going on, but all of those changes are what made the difference. Being open to inviting new challenges provided by your coach, communicating with your coaches what you need, bringing people on that journey, and most importantly, loving yourself through it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's just your body, you can fight yourself the whole way, but if you like, there's preps where it's like a fight of, oh gosh, but if you just like love yourself enough to do hard things and just like mentally be locked in and just like, we have to keep going. We have to keep doing this. Like, it is crazy that when your mind and body are connected in the sport of bodybuilding, that is kind of the purpose and goal, is that your mind and body can connect. And when they are on like that connection, like, you can do anything. Powerful. You can change your physique so quickly with training, nutrition. Like, adherence is just easy. Adherence is easy when you stop fighting yourself in your mind and you just kind of like give in and you're just like, I accept that it may be hard. I understand that bodybuilding suffering is always temporary. Whether I'm hungry now or I'm not hungry, it is temporary. I might be hungry tomorrow. I might be not. I might be sore today. I might be sore now. It's just, it is all a part of this process of bodybuilding. And so I'm very excited to see what this evolution changes to this year. So I'm sure we'll see you on many pro stages and hopefully the Olympia stage and the pro win.
Yes, that's the hope.
Yeah. So what else? Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with for an athlete that is thinking about competing but has not yet?
Yeah, an athlete that's thinking about competing but has not yet. Yes, two things. One, kind of, you know, if you haven't gotten the message, do your research. Don't just stop at one coach. Interview so many coaches, exhaust your resources. And don't just hire the coach with the results, hire the coach that you want to be friends with. And then my second piece of advice, your why, I really do believe this. Your why can be dynamic. It can change. Give yourself grace to let your why change, because mine sure as hell did. You know, at first it was just to overcome an eating disorder. And that's what got me to the pro card. And it was the pro card show that actually showed me I love the stage after, gosh, 13 or 14 shows. It showed me I love the stage. So my why changed after that. You know, it was like, but be flexible with that. Be okay with your whys changing, but no matter what, identify a why that is bigger than you getting up on that stage in that glitz and glam bikini and being shredded. That is not going to take you to the finish line. It's got to be deeper. And if you're struggling with that, there's an exercise you can do. It's simply, you say, why do I want to be a bikini competitor? Well, I want to challenge myself. Okay, why do you want to challenge yourself? Well, because I've done sports my entire life and now sports are no longer a part of my life and I feel like I've maxed out in the gym. Okay, why do you feel like you, and you do that exercise 5 times. When you get to the fifth why is your true deep why. And you can anchor yourself into that and it will carry you to the finish line a lot further and a lot, you know, your buy-in's going to be greater than simply I want to set myself up for a new challenge.
Yes. And every single person has it, whether you, it's just that why is in you. You maybe never said it out loud because you're scared of not achieving it.
Yeah.
Or what happens if I like bring this out? Is anybody going to be embarrassed of my why? Or I'm scared to put this out into the world. And it is scary to like have a why, and your reason doesn't, my why is different than yours. Yours is different than mine. It doesn't need to make sense to anyone else besides yourself.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be justified. Sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I'm so excited that you were able to share your story. It was an amazing episode just to get to talk a little bit about like the mindset. I feel like a lot of athletes that are in the middle of prep right now are going to definitely need this episode. So final question, are we team cupcake or are we team protein shake?
Oh, I mean, I do love me some protein shakes, but right now without my powders, I can't have cupcakes either. But I am such an icing girl. We are team cupcake all the way.
Okay, I love it. And if anyone wants to follow up with you on your journey or work with you, where can they do so?
My Instagram. So my Instagram is at Mads, M-A-D-S, Michie, M-I-C-H-I-E, fitness. And right underneath in my bio, there's a link for an application to work with Team Empowered.
Amazing. So we'll get your episode up. It probably won't be until the end of February, but that will be a perfect time for mid-season motivation.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for tuning into Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and feel motivated to take on your fitness journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to stay up to date with my fitness journey and get more tips and inspiration, follow me on Instagram at Savannah Sharp Fitness and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Savannah Sharp. And if you have a moment, please leave a rating and review of the show. Your feedback helps me create better content and reach more people who need it. Remember, no matter where you are on your fitness journey, you are capable of achieving your goals with hard work and discipline. Keep pushing yourself, stay motivated, and never give up. Thanks for listening, and see you next week on Cupcakes and Protein Shakes.